This is Tim Murdoch. You're watching White Rabbit Radio Live for, what is it, Sunday, April 19th? It is sunny and cold out. It was like 60, 70 degrees, and then it dropped all the way down to 40, and now it's going to be like 30 degrees for a couple nights. Crazy. Crazy weather. We have all the usual suspects in the chat. Hopefully you guys are doing okay out there. Let's get after it. I got some links, and it's hard to say what's going to happen. Oh, I guess I messed that up. Let me pull up some links here. It's hard to say exactly what's going to happen regarding Trump and Iran. I'm guessing they're going to attack them. Iran thinks they're just going to start attacking them again, which is kind of par for the course, some type of deception. Trump is sending Witkoff over to negotiate, and Witkoff is like some kind of, he's a super Zogbot. Well, actually, he's a member of the team. He's Jewish, so he's the ultimate Zogbot, I guess. He's going to do what the plan is, and the plan is Israel's plan. So, he'll be on the phone with Netanyahu every 5 minutes negotiating. So, it's probably already pre-planned to send in a bunch of troops and other things like that. It's just a matter of time. They did take out an Iranian ship, or they grabbed an Iranian ship and put a hole in another one. So they are enforcing the particular shutting down of Hormuz. And, of course, Iran has shut down their side as well again. But anyways, what's up, Aaron White? Hopefully you're doing okay out there. Thank you, sir, for the super chat. Hold on. Let me get this. Let me get my head out of the way. This is something you shouldn't do, though. I mean, no matter who you are, even if you're armed to the teeth, jumping out of your car, confronting someone at a light these days in America has a lot of wild animals, and you could end up in a bad situation very quickly. You just don't know what you're getting out of the car on, and even if you're loaded with a gun, you might have to use it, and of course you're probably going to end up in jail. But nonetheless, I can't tell whether this woman got in an accident or what, but from the way she's jumping up and down approaching the car in front of her, I'm guessing someone just pissed her off. I don't think she's actually in an accident. It just basically throws her down in the snow. Whoever, for all I know, she might have been confronting a big black woman or something. I can't really tell. We'll slow it down here. She's just a white woman. When watching a lot of TV, thinks she's going to get out of her car and be a boss girl. And she gets fucking hammered. She's lucky she just got pushed back in the snow. Because a lot of bad things happen when women and men do this type of thing, but especially women. Driver walks away. She probably sits around all day telling men what to do, whatever, and they've been psychologically programmed to get their way and to run this particular game or that particular game or be boss girls. And then you're going to rapidly get in situations, and I would predict a lot more of these, where they get hurt. She didn't get hurt. She just got embarrassed, as far as I can tell. But, I mean, shit, you got to watch getting out of your car even in an accident. You got to calculate, am I going to have to use my weapon? You know, did she open his door? I can't tell. She's crazy if she opened his door. But some of these women, and there are dudes out there as well, but you know, this in this case, we're dealing with a white woman. But some of these white women have no sense of... No sense that there's just places you don't want to go with some dude. You don't want to start pushing some dude around or trying to boss girl at a red light, because it can go bad on you really quickly. You know? But anyways, let's keep going here. This is a tough one to watch, because that is a big snake. Let's see if you guys can check this one out.
Look, a vinyl.
Now, I'm guessing that's a giant python there, but I'm not a snake handler. I don't think that's some kind of venomous snake being that big. Venomous snakes usually aren't that huge, but I could be wrong. You guys tell me. I think it's like a python hiding near the water. And this dude's getting ready to climb, and that python grabs him right between the legs.
Ooh, good boy.
Look at that. Look at that.
Holy shit, buddy. Ooh, good boy.
It's his nest. Oh shit. That's painful.
Holy shit, buddy.
They're saying it's a python. Yeah, I figured it was, and that's like its nest. It's fucking devastating. It would only be bad, I guess, if the teeth broke off in his leg or testicle or whatever it grabbed, but man, that has to hurt. That's a big snake. And he grabs right in a very sensitive spot. Now, I can't tell exactly if he grabbed a ball or anything.
Ooh, good boy.
Oh, man. Man, look at the size of that snake.
Boy.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
What a shit, buddy. Let's go there.
That had to hurt. That had to freaking hurt. Definitely scared the hell out of you. What's up, Global Chat? What's Global Chat up to? Hopefully, you're not trying to climb over a giant python, or what did you guys call it? We had someone in the chat that sounded like they knew what they were talking about, python or boas. He says reticulated python. Finger. I know nothing about snakes other than that's a big one, and I would not want to be bit by that. But python bites, they typically bite, then wrap around their prey and strangle it. And they're not poisonous, obviously. But they would have some big teeth, some giant fangs, if you will. I said teeth. They would have giant fangs, and damn, that would have to hurt. Bad news. Feel bad for the dude. What a tough break to be climbing over that. Just randomly, just get hammered. Eight children killed in Louisiana mass shooting. Where's the gunman? I'm feeling they're black. You guys want to bet?
That were struck by gunfire last night in a domestic disturbance. Eight of these individuals are deceased. The ranges of the decedents are from 1 year of age to approximately 14 years of age. All of the deceased in this case are juveniles. The individual responsible, once leaving this scene, performed a carjacking right here in close proximity to the corner of West 79th and Linwood, at which point...
Yeah, Shreveport. I was kidding. Shreveport, Louisiana, it's got to be black. A carjacking, Shreveport, Louisiana. Has there ever been a white one? Maybe. And yeah, it'd probably go back a ways.
In time... Shreveport police patrol officers got behind that vehicle and a chase ensued. The vehicle was chased into Bossier Parish, and at which point in time, Shreveport police officers did discharge their firearm, and that individual is deceased. We do believe him to be the only individual that fired gunshots at these locations here. He is deceased, and Louisiana State Police will be taking over that portion in which the Shreveport police officers discharged their firearms. So we don't have any more information on the shooting that occurred in Bossier. What we...
All right. Around blacks, don't relax. Shot a one-year-old baby. Typical. Like carjacking gone wrong for a black. Shoots up, kills like eight kids. Eight black kids. Well, here's some news for you. I bet you didn't know. Alarming image exposes the effect of ultra-processed foods on the body. X-ray photographs of the woman's thigh published in a newly released study show ultra-processed foods negatively impact the body. Trying to see. Oh, here we go. Get my head out of the way here. I mean, look at this. Finally came up. Ultra-processed foods and muscle fat infiltration at thigh MRI. 615 participants. Grading MRI showed muscle fat infiltration related to diet quality regardless of sex. Bet you didn't know any of that. Now, you probably could have guessed that. These ultra-processed foods are pretty much like addictive drugs at some level. Northern Lights could be visible as far south as Illinois and Oregon tonight. You got some Northern Lights going off, huh? I mean, my state, you can see them from time to time, depending on where you're at, depending on how clear the skies are and stuff like that. But Illinois, who knew? We'll keep moving here. Oh, this is a massive explosion at a firecracker factory in India has left at least 22 people dead and 6 critically injured, destroying multiple rooms at the site. Let's see this. Hold on here. Multiple rooms at the site. Imagine working at a firecracker factory in India. What could go wrong? It is not looking good for those Indians, whoever was inside there. Hospital reuses syringes, infects hundreds of children with HIV. This is right next door in Pakistan. It's not very intelligent. City located in central Punjab province of Pakistan. 331 children have tested positive for HIV. The infection seems to trace back to a single facility. Reusing needles, reusing syringes. What geniuses. Welcome to that part of the world, right? Speaking of not looking good, this is very much haunting. Stormy Daniels looks like something right out of like a horror flick these days. I don't know if you guys, how well you can see that. Look at that. It's like a ghoul. She looks terrible. Puffing on a cigarette. And she got hit pretty hard. There's her former attorney. You remember they were talking about him running for president and all this bullshit? Michael Avenatti performs up close duty at Los Angeles halfway house. Wonder what he's going to be up to. He got hammered by the law. Look at her. It's like some ghoulish character now. A face. Smoking a cigarette? I don't know. Nonetheless, picture shocked me, so I thought I'd show you. This is pretty wild. This is the Strasbourg train station. Some nog got himself a giant carp. Look at the size of the carp. And he's just out grabbing carp out of the river.
God. 30 kilos le poisson, frère, au moins. Mon record, c'est 20 kilos pour ce poisson. Hein. Le mec, à la rivière, apparemment, il l'a chopé.
C'est lui qui l'a chopé.
Putain, à skip, ouais.
Getting him a big fish.
Carpe à Mont-Blanc. On est où? On est à la gare de Strasbourg. Non, ça y est, ça y est. Carpe à Mont-Blanc, frère. Carpe à Mont-Blanc. À la gare de Strasbourg, c'est quoi cette merde?
Don't know what he's saying, but nonetheless, these invaders are doing what invaders do, grabbing anything they can to eat. Trash fish, there's probably, I don't know, carp, there's probably ways to cook it, but I'm sure he's eating a lot worse than carp. The Vietnamese love eating over here, eating carp. There's, they can be a problem fish, and there's supposedly ways to cook it. You know, whether it be soak it, you got to soak it in things, I believe. Yeah, blue crabs are great. Nigerian migrant caught cooking cat in public park next to children's playground. A little bit disturbing. You know, you got yourself a cat, he's cooking him a cat. Death penalty? 100%. I mean, someone's furry little critter, and you just grabbed it, and you're roasting it over the fire there to get the hair off. A warning if you are sensitive to images. But nonetheless, this is what's running around the country. It doesn't look like he has his shoes on, so he's kind of relaxing in a park. And it's like making himself at home and cooking a cat. Cooking himself a fresh meal. Frankly, I don't know why you'd want to eat a cat myself. There's a lot of other things. I mean, there's plenty of birds, but then again, I guess he wouldn't be able to catch one. Fish. Yeah, execute it. Yeah, put him through a tribunal, show the photograph in the tribunal, and hang him publicly. Who eats cats? Brown people. You know. There's something very disturbing about someone that eats dogs and cats, in my opinion. I guess if you were starving, but there's a lot of other things I'd eat first. I don't know that they would even be good to eat. Yeah, it's most likely off the street, but you never know. It could be someone's pet. Not that they give a shit. You know. Here's someone that got the treatment. A prisoner jailed for seriously injured 4-month-old baby has been left with life-altering injuries after coordinated attack by fellow inmates. This is in UK. A man who injured baby may lose testicle after being beaten up in prison. He was beaten nearly to death. 4 prisoners admitted storming his cell, beating him, and filming the assault in what a judge described as a planned punishment. The attack was so severe, one of his balls, has died and may require surgical removal. The group received an additional 2.5 years. Is that it? And to be served on top of their current sentences. All right. So they're doing the Lord's work. It's pretty common over here. I think they'd probably just kill him, right? Jail here, he'd be greenlit as like endangering a child or injuring a child. You mess with women or kids and get into prison, your life can be over very quickly here, especially kids. He's lucky that's all he lost. And speaking of baboons and monkeys going crazy, this is pretty funny. Although I would much rather deal with baboons of this type. Woman captures a baboon stealing fruits from her house. Maybe it's learned behavior? Oh, he came in and he grabs a banana, one in his mouth, one in his hand. What's that other? Is that an apple?
Get on!
Now, these baboons are quite dangerous and very much a nuisance. The way you deal with them is you hunt them. You hunt them down to the sleeping level. You know? So, it's in the genetics. All those Chads get pardoned? Well, I don't know if they're white. I don't know about that prison. They could be fellow Muslims. They could be brown. I don't know. It doesn't say race. He's obviously was probably Pakistani or something, but they might have been fellow Pakistanis. I mean, you mess with kids, it's kind of like universal green light type shit in jail, I would imagine. Yeah, if they were white attackers, they were probably in jail for hate speech, probably. Assuming they were white, but depending on what jail they're in, there's a lot of people in jail in the UK now that are, Armenian, or that's like the fastest growing group, or some other group of nons, besides Pakistani. We just don't know. I don't know who he's attacked by. It doesn't say. If he were white, would they get longer sentences? I don't know. In my opinion, they don't give really rough sentences in the UK. unless you're putting up stickers or something and you're white. But by and large, if you're an average white guy committing a crime, you're not going to get some ridiculous sentence unless you're political. Dark side of Europe's chemsex scene, with partygoers left to die and doctors on the brink as hookup apps fuel deadly crisis. I don't know what this is about, chemsex. Okay. Global health crisis. Never heard of this. Other than taking drugs? Are they just talking about taking drugs? Pick up potent drugs and organize sessions within minutes. All right. GHB. All right. Liquid ecstasy, crystal meth. 3-MMC. GHB I've heard of. All right. Crystal meth, obviously, we've heard of. MMC, 3-MMC, I've never heard of that. Lots of drugs. The whole entire society is degenerate. We all know. That's how it goes. And speaking of drugs, President Trump signs an order allowing psychedelic drug research to treat mental health disorders in the Oval Office with Joe Rogan. Joined with them was American from Ibogaine CEO Brian Hubbard. Ibogaine is a plant-based hyperactive psychoactive compound that has been used to treat people with drug addictions. All right, hold on. Let's listen to this. Everyone was surprised Trump approved it so quickly. I mean, if it helps with drug addiction, it's that good.
We've got three attributes that we're working with here. This is a revolutionary opportunity for us because Ibogaine does three things. I would explain the physiology in terms of the way in which it literally, within 48 hours, will resolve physiological substance dependence for 80% of folks who take it but one time. That goes to 97% when they do it with a booster dose. As I said, second thing that it does is it restores an individual's sense of ownership over self. If they have lived lives of compulsion where they are driven by those things that imprison them, on the other side of the Ibogaine experience, they recognize that they have ownership of self and future, and that that future will be defined by choices rather than driven by compulsion. And that is fundamental and integral to recreating a viable existence. And I would say, but finally, and most importantly, and Aubrey, I would say this to the most religiously Bible-believing, thumping person that you could find. I would say, finally, and most importantly, many individuals who have an Ibogaine experience come away with a concrete affirmation and knowledge that they are a spiritual being made in the image of an almighty creator whose essence is pure and unconditional love for them.
I can't pause this, but this is getting a little crazy here. For some reason, X isn't working. Can't pause it. But it's getting a little spooky. It sounds like a complete godlike miracle drug here.
What I was given by my papaws in childhood. Ibogaine has the unique ability to restore the brain's dopamine and serotonin production to its pre-opioid exposure levels within 36 to 48 hours.
That's amazing.
Thereby fully resolving physiological opioid dependence with a single administration for 80% of individuals the first time. That number goes to 97% with a second supportive dose.
Wow.
It is extraordinary, especially when we consider the outcomes that are produced by our existing treatment system. Its applications haven't just been successful.
That's actually the most amazing drug I've heard of maybe ever. Trump immediately approved it based on Joe Rogan telling him about it. And it sounds like something that should be fast-tracked. If it's true, I've never heard of it before. I know nothing about addiction drugs other than that one. It's from some type of natural plant. Semi-natural, I don't know. And one of those things. Assuming it works, well, they seem pretty optimistic. I can't tell what's true and what's smoke, or, you know, we'll find out more about it, though. they were impressed enough to immediately Immediately get it approved. Joe Rogan, of course, he always does his homework, guys. See, Rogan just wants to trip balls legally, altered states movie. Okay. Assuming it works, though. Well, it sounds like, you know, the preacher there said it, it was full miracles, full on. There has to be some kind of downside to it. I don't know. It's supposed to be a reset. It's supposed to reset drug addiction. Yeah, that's what he was saying. We had a marathon between humans and robots. The robots kicked the shit out of the humans, of course. Beijing's humanoid robot half marathon is underway. Well, the robots won. We'll bring more of that in a minute. Let's check this out. Check out this one. This is a little robot that was running. I guess it was for shits and giggles. Humanoid robot sprints to victory in Beijing, beating the human half marathon world record. All right. So they had some pretty fast ones. This was not a full marathon. It was a half marathon. Was that 10 miles? Robot kicked his ass, but that's kind of predictable. I would imagine they have robots these days that could run a marathon pretty good. Sean Ryan talks about taking a bunch of times that particular one for addiction. But robots for the win. The clankers are taking over. This is one thing to respect about China, regardless of, I've never been there, regardless of whether you love them, hate them, whatever. You got to respect this. The West was like this a long time ago. The mayor in China, who reportedly accumulated $4.5 billion during his career and was found with 13.5 tons of gold and 23 tons of cash in his apartments, has been sentenced to death. $4.5 billion this mayor accumulated. That's pretty amazing. Found with 13.5 tons of gold. That's a lot. 23 tons of cash spread out in his apartments that he owned, was sentenced to death. That is crazy. Look at all this gold. Getting a little too greedy there, Ching Chong. I imagine he's taking bribes. Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, what are you going to do with all that? 13.5 tons of gold, 23 tons of cash. That is just freaking stupid. That makes no sense. Well, now he's dead. He's going to get the death penalty. Which you have to respect him for this, right? That level of corruption, although they don't hesitate to give death penalties to CEO, and you got to respect that. They're in control and you go against it, you know? Sure, the cops stole a few pocketfuls too. Yeah, they're very mercantilist there. Everything the Jews are good at, they're supposedly just as good at, and there are a lot more of them. I know, Spanberger signs unconstitutional bill to strip Confederacy-linked groups of tax-exempt status. Virginia's, of course, going crazy with all kinds of anti-white stuff. She's like They stripped the tax status of Confederate groups. Now, these are historical Confederate groups like Daughters of the Confederacy and stuff like that. She's stripping them of tax-exempt status. Now, basically just trying to do everything possible to piss people off is what it looks like. But nonetheless, you know, it's working. Some states are going to go more and more anti-white, Virginia being one of them. And New York City is one to watch. Then this is, of course, it's a guy talking to a particular woman. Let's listen. I'm trying to figure out if this woman he's talking to is Jewish. You guys can chime in. I think she's just a white woman. But it's hard to tell in New York.
Would you support a racial equity tax in New York?
Yes.
And why is that?
My automatic feeling is I'm white, I have privilege, and I know it.
What are some ways you've experienced privilege?
Well, because when I was in my 30s and I was out and about.
Anything more recent to modern times?
Not exactly.
Would you support a racial...
I don't think she's Jewish. Doesn't sound like a New York Jew. Oh, that stereotypical accent. And you guys think everything's Jewish, though. I asked the wrong people in the chat. She's just a white woman that feels privileged. If she was Jewish, she would have come up with something more fancy, I think. You know? Well, I could be wrong. She also could be half of something, right? New York. Let's see, 33 years ago today, the ATF and FBI murdered 76 people, 28 of them being children in Waco, Texas. They later posed for photos on top of charred remains of the victims. No agent ever faced prosecution for their horrific actions. The siege lasted from February 28th to April 19th. It's all terrible stuff. And this changed how a lot of people think, how a lot of the right wing thinks. God help us, we want the press. Waco and Ruby Ridge changed the game for right-wing America and their trust in government. But the government doesn't give a shit at all. Yeah, they had a crazy leader, a bunch of crazy shit. And, you know, hey, maybe it would end up a suicide cult either way. You could say a lot of things, but these sieges, these Wacos and Ruby Ridges, it's a lot of things that could be avoided, I think, the vast majority of time. I'm not saying disasters aren't going to happen, but you know what I mean. Yeah, Robert E. Lee from Robert E. Lee to that dumb bitch. Well, Virginia is overrun by crazies. Not just liberals, but crazies. Randy Weaver found not guilty, right. Who knows what would happen with Waco? But look at that fire. Terrible. War hero Ben Roberts Smith vows to clear name, slams cops over arrest spectacle. He's out with his wife. He got out on bail. Hold on, let's listen. I didn't realize there was a statement. This is from Noticer. Noticer has always putting out the news.
You right at the back?
Yes.
Okay. Well, for the past 10 years, my family and I have been subject to a campaign to convince Australians that I've acted improperly in my service in Afghanistan. As I've always maintained, I categorically deny all of these allegations, and while I would have preferred these charges not be brought, I will be taking this opportunity to finally clear my name. I'm proud of my service in Afghanistan. While I was there, I always acted within my values, within my training, and within the rules of engagement.
It's not like he's blinking a lot. He believes what he's saying.
I'd also like to say that I'm extremely proud of all of the men and women that served alongside me in Afghanistan, and their service and sacrifice should never be forgotten, particularly those who made the ultimate sacrifice, many of whom were my friends. I'd like to thank my partner Sarah, my beautiful daughters, my mother and father, and all of Sarah's family for their unwavering support and for standing by me during this difficult time. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank the millions of Australians who have reached out to me publicly and privately to offer their support and well wishes. It means a great deal to me and is extremely humbling. I understand this is an unprecedented case and the public interest is huge and the media has a job to do, which they should be allowed to do. But I would ask that the media please allow my family their privacy at this time, particularly my children, who have already unfortunately suffered through a deliberate sensational arrest that was made last week, an unnecessary spectacle. I understand this journey will be long. I understand this journey will be difficult. But I can promise everybody that I have never run from a fight in my life. I will never give up, and I will always be in the fight.
The rules of engagement over there were stacked in someone like his, were not stacked in his favor. You're going to be shooting guys that dropped weapons intentionally, playing all kinds of games, shooting, throwing bombs, and running back to a village, dropping their weapons and dropping everything and running back to a village to hide because they think you can't shoot them if they're unarmed, and all kinds of crazy games. But who knows? I mean, he's, I would imagine he's not on our side politically. I'm always leery of someone bringing charges like this. I thought when this first came down, it was going to be at the ICC or something. I thought it was like some big deal. This is internal to Australia, so I'm kind of leery about them bringing charges a decade after the fact, after running ads for testimony in Afghanistan. I don't trust any of this shit. Zogbot? I have no reason not to believe he isn't a Zogbot. But at the same time, we'll see. See what happens. You know? That's how they arrest our people all the time anyways. They go in and drag them out in front of their families and everything else. So I don't know why they would spare this guy. He's white, you know? He did his job above exemplary. I'm not an expert on them, but I'm very leery of war crimes that aren't, you know, you got to be fucking serious. But war crimes, the way these were brought up after advertising for people, decade after the fact, by some international authority with all kinds of evidence, but some kind of internal Australian bullshit, which I don't trust, period. So I don't know. The ROE changed throughout the war. Yeah, there's a lot of shit in that war that was stupid. But, you know, we've got a lot of bad actors in uniform as well. It's a very degenerate society where most of the soldiers are not held up to the standards that our ancestors would have been held up to at one time. So it's all fucked, basically. Nonetheless, unlivable boarded up house in Western Sydney sells for $1.6 million. You can thank the Brown invasion for this. This might be because of Asians, by the large. $1.59 million at auction. An unlivable shack. $1.59. These insane prices of real estate in Australia and some places in America as well. But a lot of complaints. Good luck starting a family there, unless you're extremely wealthy. Ilhan Omar is now claiming she's only worth between $18,000 and $95,000. That's a big range. After amending her congressional financial disclosure and blaming a major accounting errors for the previous filing that showed she and her husband owned assets between $6 million and $30 million. Well, $18,000 and $95,000 are huge. That's a huge difference. $6 million and $30 million is another huge difference. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot not to be able to guess something closer. But again, a lot of these congressmen and women of all stripes do stupid shit and think everyone else is stupid and think they're above the law. Most of the time they are. The house down the street is for sale for $1.9 million, just a basic home. Are you in Australia? Jew accountants are helping her. They're not helping her that good. If some clever accountant was helping her, she'd come up with a solid number. And not these wild ranges. I mean, the first range was bad enough, $6 million to $30 million. And people start questioning how she got the money. And now it's, of course, $18,000 to, what did I say, $95,000. What does she make in Congress? $150,000, $200,000 a year? What do you make in Congress? I don't even know. She's got all kinds of benefits and good health care and everything else. Orange County, California? Yeah. Anyways, we got technology in the news. See what this is. Immersed invests in the device after the smartphone. Let's see what this Jeet's trying to sell. He's trying to sell an IPO on something. He's trying to have someone invest in a company.
By the time you watch this video, it won't be too late for you to join what we're building. The advent of the internet transformed how we use desktops, then laptops, then smartphones. Now with the advent of AI, the world's biggest tech companies, Apple, Meta, Google, and others, are pouring tens of billions of dollars into the next platform evolution. Spatial computing powered by AI. These companies know AI won't just live in a phone in your pocket, it'll holographically assist you in your real-world environment, not just stuck on flat 2D screens. But they've all hit the same roadblocks. Headsets are too bulky, expensive, and awkward for real productivity. I'm Renji, founder of Immersed. I have a master's in computer vision and machine learning from Georgia Tech, have scaled systems at Fortune 500 companies, and for the past 8 years, I've been building Immersed, now the most used AR/VR productivity app in the world. We've acquired over 1.5 million unique users who spend 40 to 60 hours a week using headsets. Once users onboard, there's no going back to flat screens. Immersed generated $7 million in revenue, raised $25 million from 6,000 investors to date, and reached over 1.5 billion views across social media last year. After building an app that users have spent over 1,800 years in, we knew it was time to build an XR device with partners like Qualcomm and other tech giants. We call it Visor, a work-focused spatial computer that's 70% lighter, 70% less expensive, and has 2 million more pixels than Apple's Vision Pro. It's designed specifically for productivity, not gaming. It's sleek, powerful, and socially acceptable to wear in public, and it's shipping this year. AI is now the co-pilot for knowledge work, but current devices limit its potential. That's why we built the full stack, spatial computing hardware, immersive software, and on-device AI, all working as one. Think of it like Iron Man's Jarvis. Instead of replacing you with AI, we empower you with AI. Curator can voice activate your entire setup, recall any meeting, file, or line of code, and automatically prioritize what needs your attention most. It turns everything you do into real actionable insights, and the more it works alongside you, the smarter it gets, helping you accomplish more. We believe two seismic shifts are converging, a new paradigm for computing and intelligence. By owning the entire stack, hardware, software, and AI, we're building one of the world's most valuable data engines. The future of work won't be built by big tech companies alone. It'll be shaped by those bold enough to bet early. We're built.
If this works, and I'm guessing something along these lines will work, a headset you wear, these look like a surfer's glasses or sunglasses or something, like a giant set of Oakley sunglasses, a little bit thicker with an AI assistant cooked into a computer. One of the things that struck me about watching this, and there's several of these out there. I'm showing this one. But one of the things that this is going to do, it's going to delete the need for large monitors. You're going to be able to have monitors as large as you want, as many as you want. So all these particular engineering spaces and places where you have several monitors for a variety of different reasons are going to be obsolete. You're going to need a computer. You're going to need it hooked into this and maybe one monitor just in case something goes south. But the headset's basically going to make all that obsolete. Any of you guys use any of these headsets? AI headset? I don't know how they're going to work. But monitors, and I would may, it's going to cut down demand for mice and keyboards as well. You're not going to need, well, you're not going to go through as many. You know, corporations go through a lot of mice and keyboard, and you're still going to need, I guess, a monitor and mouse and keyboard just for, you know, emergency or whatever. But this is going to replace monitors, especially in engineering workspaces where you have, you know, guys with 3-6 monitors for whatever reasons. Or imagine a security workspace where you have a bank of monitors. That's going to be all gone, and this is going to replace that. What do you guys think? Yeah, well, it's just a fancy headset with an AI assistant. But a few things occurred to me, and someone's going to have it. I mean, partners Qualcomm, it's just another Indian, you know. Find Prime Poop Sports on any. Let's see here. How long can you wear it for? This is a question. I'm guessing this is the direction we're going, though. I've seen these headsets over the years. I never paid attention to it until you start seeing the smaller ones like this with AI assistants. And then it occurred to me, like, well, they're going to delete because this doesn't use, I mean, you're just not going to, corporations aren't going to use as many mice, and you're not going to have a need for as many mouse. I mean, think about all the corporations and how many mice and keyboard they go through in the course of a year because things break. You're not going to need that. You're going to need glasses like this with AI assistants. And think about how many computer monitors are going to be obsolete because you don't need computer monitors. Your glasses become your computer monitors. You would just need something for booting it up. I'm not going to use it. I'm fine with two monitors. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I'm not buying one, obviously. So I understand the attitude. I'm just trying to think of how soon something like this will take off. I can see how corporations would want to go to this, though. Immersed productivity. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm guessing there's going to be a downside to it, but I can see, I mean, you know, all right, we're going to throw out all the monitors. We're going to throw out the keyboards and mice. We won't need, those are going to go down by, what, 95% or something automatically, but we're going to have these glasses instead that who knows what these friggin' things cost, right? I would have to see some independent tests of it, but nonetheless, can you guys think of anything else that makes obsolete? Maybe your assistant. They're talking about half of all entry-level jobs being wiped out by AI like this in the next 36 months, but I don't know. Meaning assistant jobs. This becomes your assistant. You don't need an assistant. Indian version comes with free bobs and vaginas. Yeah. I wonder if there's a negative effect on the eyes. Well, there's a negative effect from monitors. There's a big negative effect from monitors on the eyes. Now, monitors have come a long ways with blue light and everything else, but if you sat in front of monitors for years and years, you probably were wearing glasses if you're Gen X or anything like that. So, yeah, eyes might be an issue, but monitors can be an issue on the eyes. They've gotten around that, though. They might be safer than monitors on the eyes. You can engineer that. That's something they'll be thinking about and worried about, corporations especially, because they want maximum productivity to make the maximum amount of money. So they're going to be thinking about, oh, all right. Yeah, so they probably will have embedded gamer glasses in the lens. You know how gamer glasses protect your eyes? They also can make things yellow or blue or whatever, but the gaming, the blue light lens technology and that type of thing, they're probably going to incorporate something like that. So, I don't know. You need glasses, been putting it off? Yeah. Is there no concern of having your eyes too close to the monitor? I'm thinking they probably engineered around that with gamer technology because a lot of gamers have to wear things. They're worried about their eyes because of all the studies that monitors can be bad for their eyes. Nonetheless, I thought I'd play that for you guys. Device after smartphones. This is going to be the device. Well, can it get rid of computers? You might. You might have your whole entire computer on a brick like a size of a smartphone, would not need a monitor or anything else. Just have these hooked up to a smartphone device and work and do whatever you want and run your life that way. Maybe that's where they're going. I'm just guessing, though. You know, I thought this next one was wild as well. Failed companies are selling old Slack chats and email archives to train AI. There's so much AI being trained on these massive data farms. Drone operators wear headset monitors, but those are giant headset monitors. These look like sunglasses. Obviously, they're thicker, but they look like sunglasses. This is where they're going, and you rent computer from a service. You rent everything. All the software that you could own at one time now is to be rented. Everything is subscription. It's insane. You will own nothing and be happy. AI that could escape the lab sparks fear in the city. Yeah, we're heading towards some type of AR Armageddon manufactured event, maybe. All these headlines about AI taking jobs, and it's certainly becoming better, more advanced, certainly making progress, but I don't think anyone maybe probably has a handle on where this will end up for real. But these fears of these advanced AI escaping the lab and taking over the universe. I don't know. Speaking of taking over the universe, another anniversary was the Paul Revere's ride. 1774, 1775, Boston Committee of Correspondence. On April 18th, 1775, famous ride of Paul Revere. Very cool story. Tay will come to the rescue. Maybe. Maybe the glasses might be worth it if you could hang out with Tay. Have Tay run your instead of having that dorky assistant at work, you just have Tay run your business. Tay working overtime. The FBI, this Kash Patel, another Indian in the news. He's basically worried about getting fired. The Atlantic ran this big article about how he has a drinking problem, and he freaked out over it and is threatening to sue the Atlantic. But I don't know. Kash Patel. It's just another guy in trouble. He'll see us in Valhalla. Tucker Carlson's son exits J.D. Vance's White House team and Trump's attacks on the pundit. Amid Trump's attacks on the political pundit. Yeah, Trump, he holds grudges. And Trump's not known to be a nice guy. There's Tucker Carlson's son, Buckley Carlson. It's like a normal waspy kid. There's Tucker. Be curious to see where all this ends up. But I would imagine they are connected. J.D. Vance is probably afraid of the storm. Everyone's afraid of Trump and his temper. Maybe when it's a digestible pill that puts a camera in your eye. Yikes. Sounds dicey. Marjorie Taylor Greene stokes Trump assassination plot rumors. I don't know. How many times does the Jewish Messiah get assassinated or have assassination attempts? What's the deal here? I don't know. Trump faces fresh health fears. Every time these liberal rags write this, he just keeps going. As he sparks leg brace theory after adopting wild stance. Okay, I don't know. He always looks, they're always saying he looks like he's going to die. He's going to do this, going to do that. He's been looking like that for years and he's not dead. So, call me when something happens. It's definitely one of those nothing ever happens moment when you're dealing with Trumpy Trump. For sure. Because the dude is not dead. I'm not saying that to be a dick. I'm saying that just to be a fact. You're just wishful thinking that he's just going to drop dead. I would imagine the Jews would hang up a particular mannequin or some type of AI component Trump if he dropped dead. Because, damn. Well, they need Trump like they need oxygen. Trump tacos death? Exactly. Yeah, Trump tacoed his own death. That's about right. Cash Mossad handler girlfriend saying Elijah Schaefer hurting her feelings. She'd probably win. Why? For saying she might be hooked up with the Mossad? Well, I mean, you got to wonder. But they do have a tendency. Jews have a tendency of sucking to those in power. They have for hundreds of years. I mean, if you really study the strategy. So it's not uncommon for a Jewish woman to say, okay, here's a powerful dude. I want to date him. It's kind of how they operate. If you read history, it's how things happen. So it is kind of like in a strategy. They suck to power and money. Yeah, I mean, she's a pretty normal-looking Jewess, and he's an FBI director, so you got to wonder. She's Jewish, so she'll win and ruin Elijah. I think Elijah's wife will probably have him ruined first. But that's just a guess. Or maybe one of his twinks. I don't know. Some people say he's gay. Wasn't there like some wild recorded statements he made about Groypers? Groypers made about him molesting them or something crazy like that? What am I thinking? What's up, Iron Crow? Dicey Times, hail Tim, hail the chat. Well, hail to you, Iron Crow. His wife left him? Yeah, but he's got to give his wife money. She's going to win a lot in court. He's got assets. You know, he said he had gay sex. Oh, did he say that? So he's gay. He's not gay, but his boyfriend is. Yikes. Yeah, his wife left him, and he's probably going to get divorced, and she's going to take pretty much a lot of things and get custody of the kids. Ali Alexander, yeah, is another greasy, greasy fucker. I'm not up to date on what he's talked about and what he hasn't talked about, but nonetheless, it's all shady shit. Hundreds of fake pro-Trump avatars emerged on social media. Trump tacos is fake avatars. Iran's Lego animations. Let's check this out. Hold on a minute. We're going into some news on Iran since it's like the major thing is all about Iran. And I'm guessing something's going to happen again soon. Maybe they'll come to a peace deal, but I don't see it lasting. I mean, how could you trust Israel and Washington?
Iranian youth showcasing their creativity and artistic sensibility in depicting the realities of the sacred defense against the aggression of the US and its allies. Through their art, they present realistic narratives about the nature of Iran's enemies at a time when the world is more eager than ever to hear Iran's voice.
In the wake of the 12-day war last year, we decided to create content for international audiences. The first piece was completed just one day before the war ended, but it attracted some viewers. When the new imposed war broke out, however, our efforts expanded and viewership surged.
Western rulers have for years been hiding the truth from their people, including Iran's peaceful yet powerful nature and the steep price of backing Zionist policies. Now, Iranian youth are using technology, intelligence and creativity to tell the real story of their fight against Zionism.
At night, the streets are filled with people eager to help and take part in defending Iran. By day, some seek to work with the Red Crescent Society, while others focus on delivering aid directly. Everyone contributes however they can. And for us, media and artificial intelligence were what we knew best.
Technology and creativity alone are not the saviors of humanity. In fact, they can even lead to the destruction of human values. It is the commitment to human freedom and dignity that can harness technology and creativity in the service of human excellence. when I'm in Press TV.
Yeah, they're doing a good job with these particular Lego type deals. Oh, hold on here. Let me get the next one tooled up here correctly. Let's see if there's another one. Tried to get around archive, but you know. But anyways, we're going to cruise through some news reports here. For Iran, flexing control over the waterway is a new deterrent. What Iran did was they shut down the Straits of Hormuz again, and the U.S., of course, already had it shut down. We'll go back into that here in a minute. Paul Craig Roberts, I did a cruise around to see what everyone's saying. This is former Reagan administration guy, Forever War for Israel, okay. More than 100 cars take over Queens neighborhood overnight, waving Palestinian flags, blocking traffic, lighting fires, and doing car stunts. All right, let's see what they're doing here. This is some kind of car rally for Palestine. All right. Looks just like another night in Queens, but let's see what this is. Maybe they're just hoodlums raising a Palestinian flag. It's hard to say. Fire in a circle and they're doing donuts with a Palestinian flag. They're making it out to be some big Palestinian rally. I don't know. Maybe it's just an Arabic kid in one of the cars. It's hard to say. I don't see like some spectacular. Made it sound like there's like all these Palestinian flags. There's just one in one car. All right. So you have maybe a Palestinian or a Lebanese guy or something like that. Egyptian, whatever. Someone in that area. TikToker says he's rooting for Iran. Let's see what they've got their panties up in a wad over. See.
I'm not going to lie. Iran totally bitching the United States military is kind of the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, like one of these kids is going to go fight for you.
States military is kind of the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, this, it actually fills me with, like, such hope. I'm like, yeah. Get them, Iran. Get them. They can't have the strait. That's your strait. That's yours. Take that sovereignty. Take that sovereignty, Iran. Rest in peace, the Ayatollah. I'm not going to lie.
Well, they are fighting for their sovereignty. There's no doubt about that. But Iran's got a few fans. It's kind of funny. Puts it up on TikTok. Traders placed over $1 billion in perfectly timed bets on the Iran war. What is going on? What's going on is the White House leaks, Congress leaks, and there's nothing but corruption. Before the war, Congress is all buying oil stocks. They all know it was coming. You know? Jesus punching Trump meme was the best. Out of Iran. Yeah, they're doing some pretty good propaganda. Traitors or traitors? It's hard to say. I mean, every time there's an event, there's mysterious bets in front of it. So, you know, Trump doesn't care. I mean, Trump's tweeting out support for Palantir with the actual symbol, with the stock symbol. He's not saying, you know, support Palantir. He's saying PLTR or whatever the symbol is. I think that's the symbol. So, you know, come on. And all these guys are on the take to some level. It's corrupt. Trump says U.S. will knock out every power plant and bridge in Iran to end the regime's killing machine if the deal is not made. He's making a lot of threats trying to get Iran to make a deal. So far, nothing's happened. They're heading to Pakistan. It's Witkoff, so I don't have much hope. The Iranians, well, let's go through this. I've got all the news lined up here. So let's just go through it. President Trump says the entire country of Iran will be blown up. Oh, God.
Just spoke with President.
Well, how are you going to blow up all those bunkers? What's he going to do?
I just spoke with President Trump for about 20 minutes, and he told me if Iran does not sign this deal, the whole country is getting blown up. He went on to say that bridges and power plants will be targeted if Iran does not sign this agreement. The point, I just spoke with President Trump for about...
Apparently he lost his voice because he keeps going crazy trying to negotiate with Iran. He's a total hothead and he's out of control is what they're saying. This was a pretty interesting article from the Wall Street Journal, just so you're aware of it. Behind Trump's public bravado on the war, he grapples with his own fears. He was basically apparently terrified. He was totally thought the war was going to go a different way and then got very, very afraid. Now he wants the whole thing over with. But he's too far in now. The Jews sucked him into a war, I guess is the story they're saying. Israel just talked him into it. The Saudis talked him into it. He thought it was going to be like Venezuela and just be a big photo op for him. Instead, he's caught in this big quagmire over there. This is the story, at least. But he was afraid, though, because his statement was one guy with a drone can shut down the Straits of Hormuz. Yeah. Yeah, idiot. You know? Military advisors kept President Trump out of the Situation Room during the rescue mission in Iran over concerns about his temperament, Wall Street Journal reports. That's the type of thing that's in the article, just so you know. Nothing probably you couldn't already guess, because it did not go the way the U.S. wanted, the way he wanted, the way he was expecting. Trump issues chilling new warning to Iran. Whole country will be blown up. We'll blow up the whole friggin' country. Today, an Iranian-flagged cargo ship named Touska, nearly 900 feet long, weighing as much as aircraft carrier, tried to get past our naval blockade. It did not go well for them. U.S. Navy guided missile destroyer USS Spruance intercepted the Touska at the Gulf of Oman and gave them fair warning to stop. The Iranian crew refused to listen, so our Navy stopped them right in their tracks, blowing a hole in their engine room. Great. Okay. Trump announces the U.S. Navy has struck an Iranian ship transiting the Straits of Hormuz, and U.S. Marines have taken full custody of the vessel. All right. No more Mr. Nice Guy. This is Trump. Trump's not going to be Mr. Nice Guy. Would have never guessed on that one, right? No more Mr. Nice Guy. I'm going to be a dick. Oh, yikes. Did you see the Palantir guy advocating for an end to voluntary military service and make the USA conscription only? Well, you got to go back in time, and J.D. Vance was entertaining conscription ideals. It's been entertained several different times from the military, and they're going to try to do something, and it's probably not going to go well, to say the least. You know? Yeah, the Palantir guy, I imagine you're talking about the CEO, the Jewish CEO, the one that's talked about, he's talked to neo-Nazis and so on and so forth. Yeah. What you will have, though, you will have lots of elites. Their kids will join the draft. I'm guessing you will have sections of the elite that do things like that. I'll have to see it and see the elite to know, but... You know, it'll be like, well, if we don't do this, you won't be able to run for office someday. I'm kind of reminiscent of the Treasury Secretary talking about, you know, he's gay, but apparently he's got a kid that's kind of older, whatever, however this works, and was talking about joining the Army. And I'm guessing, you know, the elites do have, they do have their segments that join the Army and the military. So we'll have to see how this works. I don't know anyone that's going to jump in and join. You know. Yeah, he says all kinds of crazy stuff. No, it's a new chilling threat before the negotiation. We don't know what he's going to do. But you're dealing with a group, the Israelis, that won't hesitate to wipe things out. And if it comes down to a dangerous situation or Trump using wild levels of weapons, he's going to try to use wild levels of weapons. Who knows what the Middle East looks like after that, though? Make BB's son fight? Well, the excuse they use when you get in these high levels of the Baron Trumps and the BBs is that, well, he's serving in some type of forward propaganda unit, or because this is something that we can guard against. You know, they got to worry about protecting him, basically. They worry about him becoming a target and a distraction. So they usually serve behind the lines in some type of function for the photo op or whatever. You know what I mean? Having him in a forward unit, they say, would be too much of a distraction because he would be too much of a target and put too many people in danger. They always say stuff like that. But at one time, though, would have happened. What's up, Denise the Count? All the Kennedys, remember? I read a Pentagon War Gaming report on attacking Iran ages ago. They always win. It's pathetic that the majority of U.S. generals won't talk back Trump, and a draft will be a very funny joke. Well, you might end up in a situation, Denise, where no one wins. It's just who loses more severely. But I do agree that Iran always wins in so much if they don't have regime change. As long as they don't go through a regime change, Iran has won. And they've already won in many ways in my mind, no matter what. But that's the challenge. Making sure it doesn't go into some type of crazy weapons of mass destruction, but who knows? No, U.S. has used nukes before. Yeah, the same group had no problem with nuking. They don't have a problem with nuking. No, they got nukes with that don't have near as much radiation fallout. They've got all kinds of wild shit. They're just waiting to use it. You can't trust them. And not that they give a shit about radiation, if it comes down to them or someone else, right? Trump says U.S. struck and seized Iranian flag cargo ship. Yeah, as long as they don't undergo regime change, they're going to win. The challenge is it's going to be very, very difficult The Israelis have a goal of regime change. The Saudis have a goal of regime change. The UAE, all these Abraham Accord countries have a goal of regime change. So how do you get Hezbollah out of Iran? Let's use Lebanon as an example, when 40% of Lebanon is Hezbollah, roughly. How do you get them out? It's a problem. How do you deal with Iran when it's run by the IRGC and all these different elements, and they have seven lines or more of, you can keep killing them day after day, and they're just going to replace themselves. Just look at how well Hezbollah is doing after having its leaders obliterated not that long ago in the pager attack. Again, you're dealing with issue that the Iranians and the Hezbollahs, they've long-term planned for this particular war, and they're going to go the distance. It's just a matter of what it looks like. It's a fact. Sorry, I think they're going to take Lebanon's land. I think they're going to take part of it. But they might not. They might get hammered by Iran yet in some kind of crazy endgame. We don't know. It's not over with. That's all I know. Even if peace breaks out temporarily, I just can't see it being long term. Because one side wants regime change, the other side will not allow it. And they've got too many deep bunkers and too many weapons. But U.S. is seizing ships. They're enforcing. They're basically enforcing the blockade, which they have to do. They've called a blockade. You can't let ships go through willy-nilly. They're going to have to do this to look like tough guys. Details of the latest U.S.-Iran draft proposal, according to Emmett Siegel. Iran agrees to a 15-year enrichment suspension, with the exception of research reactors for medical isotopes. Iran's stockpile of 50% and 20% uranium would be partially converted to reactor fuel and partially downblended to a lower enrichment level. However, it won't leave Iran. Full IAEA supervision on Iran's nuclear sites, opening the Straits of Hormuz with the possibility of collecting tolls. The U.S. will offer Iran phased sanctions release. The U.S. will unfreeze all Iranian assets currently frozen abroad, amounting to $20 billion or more. The U.S. will commit to a non-aggression pact with Iran that is ensured through a U.N. Security Council resolution and treat it and ratified by Congress. The U.S. will withdraw all its military forces from the Persian Gulf. That's a lot. I can't believe Israel likes this deal. Saudis going to go through with this? Seems pretty dangerous for the Saudis and the Israelis based on their temperament and what they want. Nonetheless, we'll have to see what happens. You know? Religion, yeah, religion plays a role in the average soldier and maybe even the average Iranian elite. May play a dominant role in their culture, of course, but, I mean, does this guy we're watching, looking at right here want to die? I don't know. And so eventually, you're probably going to get some that, and the deals are going to get better and better where they negotiate. The problem that comes into, and it's the problem the Iranians already know, they're articulating. Axios reports that senior Iranian leaders believe the U.S. and Israel may be preparing for a surprise attack even before the ceasefire expires on Tuesday. That's the challenge. So even if you cut a deal with them, some kind of rosy deal, the U.S. agrees to leave, you can't believe anything the U.S. says, and you can't believe anything the Israelis or the Saudis say. There was a time when you could believe the U.S., but then those times are long gone. So even if you have a deal and the deal looks good for Iran, is it really a deal? That's the problem. This is a problem. They have reason for concern. Yeah, current situation, U.S. accuses Iran of violating ceasefire. Iran accuses the U.S. of violating the ceasefire. It is currently unclear whether negotiations will continue. I see no way around with the Israelis around some kind of war. They're going to go, when you're dealing with these particular elements in the Middle East, the House of Saud, the Israelis, even other elements that aren't Jewish, they don't ever stop negotiating. Very likely become a battle to the death for someone. U.S. Navy deploys sea robots to sweep Hormuz choke point for mines. Okay. So they got all these particular ships going in there to sweep for mines. Now, I know that the Brits and the French are getting in there because they don't want the U.S. to outdo them with the particular blockade. Apparently, they're offended. They want to come in there and save the day. So they're putting together some giant coalition, which is smart, actually, put together a large coalition to go in there. And, you know, the Iranians, we'll have to see what happens. For all I know, they might side with the Americans and attack Iran. The Iranians are not going to trust the Europeans long term because you have Macron playing good cop in a way to America's bad cop. And Macron, of course, you guys know who put him in business, don't you? The Iranians aren't going to trust any of these guys. And the Iranians, they're playing. They've planned for this, and they're executing their plan. And so far, they're doing quite well. And as long as they survive the regime, they've won. The people in Iran are probably going to face disaster. But I think Israel and the Saudis, they might all face disaster. I got a handful of news reports, and then we're going to be going early. Wednesday, I'll be doing a double show. I'll be on with Mark Collette at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then at 6 p.m., I will be live with the legendary Warren Baylock. Warren will be on from 6 to 8 or somewhere thereabouts. So you want to check out Wednesday. Friday will not be an interview. Wednesday will with Warren. And I'll be on at 2 o'clock with Mark. So it'll be a long day on Wednesday. So we're going to do a short day today. Keep that in mind. A trebuchet. The new leader will be right there. It depends on the deal. We'll have to see what kind of deal. I'm surprised the USA gave them that much because the Israelis won't. The Israelis want a giant ground invasion and they want a draft, but Trump is pretty scared. From the Wall Street Journal report, and I have no reason not to believe it. Friggin' stupid for starting a war with someone that is prepared to a T to fight a war for years and years and years. Decades. And they don't care if they die, for the most part. Just get Joe out of retirement? Iran says it restocked its arsenal with drones and missiles. Yeah, you can believe them too. Why not? That's what they're prepared for. Forget the Air Force, forget the Navy, that's going to all go down. And forget any kind of, we're just going to fire missiles and hold them back with missiles and drones and wreak havoc. And so far, their plan has worked brilliantly. UAE official says over 90% of Iran's targets were civilian infrastructure, UAE. Yeah, these guys are, Iran is fighting a blood match against the Sunni leadership and the Jews, who are all in it together. Jews and Sunni elites are in it together. The Arab street knows it. Abraham Accords proves it. Proves what the Arab street has said the whole time. And the Shia are, I would imagine the Shia are on the side. The Arab street is partially on their side. So they are definitely targeting each other's infrastructure, but eventually that happens. I mean, how are you going to not get around targeting infrastructure? The USA is not going to hesitate. Israel is not going to hesitate. Iran's definitely going to look for tit for tat, right? New release footage of the U.S. Zionist Axis bombing a hospital at the beginning of the war in Iran. Let's check out this footage. New released of a hospital getting bombed. This is in Iran. Let me turn it down. This thing's loud as hell. Yeah, they don't care about civilian populations. And to be honest with you, in wars historically, no one really does except Western. White guys care about things like that. No one else does. Countries may care about optics, but that's about it. They don't want bad optics of killing little girls or hitting hospitals. Why would they hit a hospital? Because they're going to say it housed terrorists or it housed IRGC bomb-making facilities, but no. She's running out with babies. Very large hospital. Looks fairly modern as far as the equipment and everything goes. Looked as modern as anything here. But what do I know about hospitals? Other than I've been in them a whole lot. It looked like anything here, though. But bombs falling. Welcome to the jungle. Here we go. This is Israel. Israel's receiving President Milei from Argentina. These guys are in love. I think Milei is Jewish now, if he wasn't already. I'm your friend. You wearing a light blue tie?
You know what that means? Yeah, means friend.
Yeah, yes, a good friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
My dear
friend.
And thank you for the kind words you said. And you shall hear what I have to say about you. To my office.
Please give us one of the you.
I mean, he's spiritually Jewish, right?
You know what that means?
Yeah,
means friend.
Yes, a good friend. Yes.
Yeah,
my dear friend.
And thank you for the kind words you said. And you shall hear what I have to say about you. To my office.
Please give us one of the final. You. But you. Another one.
Yes.
He's trying to copy his tie color.
Please. Good to see you. Really good. It's wonderful for me. Warms my heart. Please sit down. Please. This is you.
Yes, thank you.
I'm thinking he's been to Israel before, right? No, let's check him out here. Argentine President Javier Milei was emotional after kissing the wailing wall. Apparently, he went there right away because he wanted to stick his face in the wall. And he's there with a, you know, Argentine delegation of all these Jews.
Ah. can we have
thank you, thank you.
Avanti, Mille. Avanti.
Oh, man. All right. Now, of course, a few more news pieces. Then I'm going off a little bit early here. This is the Russian that took out 10 Ukrainian kamikaze drones. This drone situation, the human operators, we need bots against bots. And that'll be the war. The bots on the ground are going to decide the war. And these human operators versus the drones. I've got one Ukrainian that's pretty badass to show you and one Russian. This is a Russian on some particular, I don't know, some particular waterway. These AK-47 drones. Pretty impressive. The next one's even more impressive. Check this out. This is Ukrainian Yak-52 light aircraft crew fighting Russian Shahids. This is pretty wild. It's like he's shooting them with some type of AR rifle. I don't know if it's an AR-15, though. Could be. Could be something a lot bigger. That's pretty cool. Flying around an old plane. It's got a scope on there. Okay, there's the Ukrainian. Than the Russians. Drones are diabolical, though. No doubt about that. So, anyways, UFO formation, UFO cluster spotted over mysterious base tied to missing Air Force scientist. So, basically, war with Iran, missing scientists who know about nukes and UFOs. All right, UFOs. Got World War. What other memes are afoot all at the same time? Who knows? Maybe it'll all be linked up one morning. I just don't know how they would go about doing that. Yeah, everything looks AI anymore because AI is that good. Yeah, White House working with FBI to probe case of missing scientists. This is Epoch Times. They got to probe the missing scientists, so they're going to make a big deal out of this. Scientists are being kidnapped by UFOs. I don't know what the hell they're supposed to be doing with this. We'll have to wait and see. Anyways, guys, appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you supporting the show. I'll be back Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern with Mark Collette for a couple hours. And then at 6 p.m., we'll be live with Warren Baylog. See what he's up to. But you guys stay safe out there, and thanks again for all your support. I do appreciate it. You guys that send in crypto, if you could actually email your username when you do that, just to be on the safe side, the email address below so that I know. I can put the two and two together. It helps out a lot. But I do appreciate all the support. And again, I'll be back with you Wednesday with a double-decker show. Cheers, guys, and stay safe out there.